Welcome to Healing Place Church, where our mission is to be a healing place for a hurting world. Listen each week for updated content and be sure to share with your friends. We hope this podcast is a blessing and a resource to you as you pursue God daily.
Before we get into the word, I wanted to pump the brakes just for a moment. And I feel like it's important for us across all of our campuses to take time out to pray for the nation of Israel. You know, if you follow the news over the weekend, attacks on Israel have gone to another level. And Iran has launched missiles and drones into the nation of Israel. And just to be honest, I don't understand everything that's happening politically, but I know what's happening prophetically. And, you know, we don't know the day or the hour of the Lord's return, but the Bible instructs us to know the times and the seasons. And we pray for the nation of Israel. That's not a political statement. That's a biblical statement. Psalm 122, verse 6, the Bible says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem, and may all who love this city prosper. And so we want to pray. We want to take a few moments and pray. I believe that strategically the pieces of the end times puzzle, they're coming together. And we know that in the last days there'll be a rise in anti-Semitism. How many of you know that day is here? And also that Israel will become increasingly isolated. And there'll be nations that will back away from Israel and they'll stand alone. And many of you know Ezekiel 38 and the war, the Gog Magog war. You don't know how things are playing out, but you can see biblical signs of the end times. And so I want us to take a moment. Would you do this? Would you join me in praying for the nation of Israel? Father, we come to you today and we lift up our brothers and sisters in the Middle East. God, I thank you. You said in Genesis 12, you told the nation of Israel, I will bless those who bless you, and I will curse those who curse you. Father, we want to walk under the blessing of Almighty God. We don't understand all the dynamics of what's happening in the Middle East, but we know that you are sovereign. And Lord, we know that the Jews are your chosen people. Salvation came to the earth through the Jewish people. And so, God, I pray for peace in the Middle East. God, I pray for those that are suffering, the innocent lives that are being lost, Father. And Lord, I pray that you would cancel the plans of the enemy in Jesus' name. Lord, I thank you that you are sovereign. You are in control. And so we trust that and we rest in that in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen, amen, amen. If you have your Bibles, turn to Ephesians chapter 6, part 2 of this series in spiritual warfare. Today, I want to talk to you about living above sea level. Saw what I did there? Living above, S-E-E, living above sea level. The Bible teaches us that there are two worlds, and they coexist. And as a pastor, I want to help you. I want to help you understand how these two worlds interact. There's a seen world, which is temporary. That world is decaying. It's passing away. But there's an unseen realm. Can I have a good amen? There's a world that we cannot see with our natural eyes. That world is forever. It is eternal. In fact, the unseen world started first, and it will be here last. My prayer for you today is through this series in spiritual warfare that God would open your natural eyes to see spiritual things. So if I can, for just a few moments today, act as an optometrist, okay? I want to help you see things that maybe you've been missing. It's easy to live and to think about a world that's natural, but God challenges us as spiritual people to develop an unseen ability to look into a realm that our natural eyes just can't grasp. You know, if you're walking through a trial or a hard time or a struggle, today is going to help you. If you're not walking through anything right now, just wait. Trouble's headed your way and it's got your name on it. I want to talk to you about living above sea level. Have you heard of the missionary David Livingstone? How many of you, that name rings a bell? One of the famous missionaries in the 1800s that, man, gave his life for the cause of Christ for an entire continent in Africa. He was he was actually from Scotland, but he served in the mid to late 1800s. He went to Africa and he faced a lot of opposition. A lot of tribes came against him. And in fact, one tribe in particular, the chief gathered some warriors And his intent was to kill David Livingstone and all of his team. And so that night, as Livingstone camped, he got word that they were going to be under attack that evening. And so he took out a journal and he actually penned these words on January 14th, 1856. David wrote in his journal, "It's evening. I feel much turmoil and fear in the prospect of having all of my plans knocked on its head. But Jesus said, 'All power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. For lo, I'm with you always, even to the ends of the earth.' This is the word of a gentleman of the most strict and sacred honor. So that's the end of my fear, and I feel quiet and calm now." And so he just waited. The night passed and nothing happened. They woke up the next day and they continued on their journey to do what they do to minister to the people in Africa. And it wasn't but for several months later, find this interesting, fascinating, that that chief and the entire tribe came to a saving faith in Jesus Christ. And so Livingstone asked the chief of that tribe, he said, "You know, several months ago, we heard rumor that you were making plans to attack us." And the chief verified. He said, "Yeah, that was our plan. We wanted to kill you and everybody in your team." He said, "Well, what happened? Why didn't you?" He said, "Well, when we approached your camp that night, we saw 47 men. They were soldiers. They were warriors with drawn swords." And David was confused because he didn't hire any guards or security detail. Several months later, David was back in Scotland and he was speaking at a church that supported him in his missions, and he told them this story. Afterwards, a young man came up to him and he had his prayer journal with him. He said, "Mr. Livingstone, what night was that you were under attack?" He said, "It was January 14th. He said, "And how many warriors did they say were protecting your camp?" He said, "47. He said, "Look at my prayer journal. We prayed for you that night, and there were 47 men in that prayer meeting that were praying for your protection." You don't think that what happens in an unseen realm impacts what we do see? See, spiritual warfare is a big deal. Some of you are fighting battles right now. Some of you are fighting battles at work. Some of you are fighting battles at home, in a relationship, maybe struggling financially. And all these physical indicators point to something spiritual. In Ephesians chapter 6, if I could just give you some context as I read a portion of Paul's final words, Paul writes this to the Christians in Ephesus. In fact, this is what's called a prison epistle. The Apostle Paul was in prison, and many scholars believe that he was chained to a Roman guard. There was a soldier there that was stationed to watch over Paul. And as Paul is looking at this Roman soldier, he's seeing the armor on this soldier, and he begins to take what is visible to teach us how to fight an enemy that's invisible. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10, read with me. The Bible says this, a final word. Somebody say a final word. This is the exclamation point on the letter that the Apostle Paul is writing. I love this because in Ephesians 1, he says we are blessed with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. In Ephesians 2, he says we are saved by grace through faith. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. In Ephesians 3, he says that God is able to do exceedingly, abundantly above all that we could ask or even imagine, according to that power that's at work in us. In Ephesians chapter 4, he says walk worthy of the calling by which you've been called. In chapter 5, he says, don't be drunk with wine because that'll ruin your life, but be filled with the Holy Spirit. And now he says in chapter 6, a final word. Come on, y'all ain't ready. Y'all ain't ready. A final word, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Come on, somebody say, be strong. Turn your neighbor, flex at him. Say, you got to bow up a little bit. Be strong in the Lord. Now listen, it's not the amount of strength that's important. It's the source of your strength. You know, I work out with some guys at the gym, and man, there are some big dudes in my gym. And they like to wear the little tank tops to show off their strength. And I walk around, sometimes I see guys, I'm like, oh, so that's what the human body is supposed to look like. I had no idea. You know, working out, man, dumbbells, checking themselves out in the mirror. What is strength for? What's it all for? Strength is never about status. It's always about service. See, when God gives you strength, it's not to show off, but it's to serve somebody who's weak. You know, when you're strong in the Lord, when God is the source of your strength, you can be confident. You don't have to be worried. You don't have to be afraid. You don't have to be insecure. Listen, God is not hiding in some closet up in heaven. He's not taking ibuprofen and having an emergency meeting with the angels saying, oh my God, what am I going to do? Wait, I am God. The Bible says the Lord is seated upon his throne. That is a position of power and authority. There may be uncertainty in the Middle East, but I promise you, heaven is not confused. Be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Verse 11, put on, somebody say put on. Put on all of God's armor so that you will be able to stand firm against all the strategies of the devil. Let me tell you this, God's armor is available to you, but he won't put it on for you. You have things that are available to you that you have to make a decision. I'm going to equip myself. Sometimes we don't make very good use of the things that God gives us. What we're going to read here in chapter 6 is an arsenal of weapons and armor. And God says for us to put it on. We got to strap on every single day. How many of you know when we walk out of our doors in the morning and we go to work, we go to school, we're stepping onto a battlefield? And some of you in your home, it's a battlefield. Man, you're going to have to put on the armor of God. You got to recognize you're in a fight. How many of you don't like conflict? Amen. I don't like it either. In fact, I remember in the eighth grade, okay, I went out for football. I played football in the eighth grade. Got tackled one time. I said, this sport's not for me. So I went down the basketball route instead of the football field. Why? Because if I'm going to play football, contact is a part of the game. I want you to know this. When you said yes to Jesus, conflict, adversity, contact is a part of the game. You can't run from it. You can't hide from it. You can't tiptoe around it. Listen, as long as you're running with the devil, he's not going to mess with you. But the minute you say yes to Jesus, when you say no to your sin, you mean when you repent of your sin and turn toward God, listen, you start gaining ground in Christ. And when you're gaining ground, somebody's losing ground. The devil's losing ground and he's not going to give up without a fight. Conflict is a part of our journey. Some of you are walking through some battles right now and you're thinking, what's wrong with me? What's wrong with me? Man, maybe I'm making some mistakes. Listen to me. Maybe adversity is confirmation that you are right where you need to be. Bible says to put on all of God's armor. It's interesting, when Jesus began his earthly ministry, he was praying in the wilderness 40 days and 40 nights, and guess who came against him? The devil. At the very start of his ministry, Satan opposed him. At the very end of his ministry, in Luke chapter 22, he's in the Garden of Gethsemane and he's praying under such great pressure that he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood. From beginning to end, Jesus's ministry was marked with conflict. Jesus said, upon this rock, I'll build my church and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Did you know that the church was birthed in the context of struggle? He says, you got to put on the armor. Listen, we're, as believers, we're on a battleship. It's not a cruise ship. Come on, somebody. Look at verse 12. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies. Now the apostle's going to tell us about who our target is. This is important, because if you're going to fight, you got to know who your enemy is. You got to know what you're fighting. The Bible says we're not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world. Okay, watch this. Watch this. Your battle is not physical, it's spiritual. Now, things happen in the spirit realm that manifest in the natural, but you can't afford to fight a spiritual battle naturally. Mm-mm-mm. You're fighting against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in heavenly places. Paul is saying, when you expend energy in this struggle, yes, you got to be prepared, but you need to know who you're fighting. Now, listen to me. People are not the enemy, but the enemy will use people. You see, your enemy is not your difficult boss. Somebody say amen. How many of you got a difficult boss? Don't raise your hand. Don't raise your hand. I'm looking to see, make sure my staff is not raising their hands. Your enemy is not your difficult boss. It's not your obnoxious next door neighbor. It's not your spouse. Come on. I don't know if you're struggling in your marriage, but your husband, your wife is not the enemy. It's not. It's not your rebellious kids. It's not your smothering in-laws. Come on, somebody. See, sometimes we focus on what we can see, and the Apostle Paul's telling us, no, the struggle is in an unseen realm. Sometimes I have to call a timeout. I got to huddle my family together, especially when the kids were small, and be like, hey, listen, no. We're the Hamans. We fight for each other. We're not fighting against one another. You see, the danger is friendly fire is just as dangerous as enemy fire. Some of you are attacking a brother or a sister, and please know that they're not the enemy, but the enemy's trying to use them to get to you. Now look at what it says in verse 13. Is this helping anybody? Come on, spiritual warfare, living above sea level. Verse 13, therefore, somebody say therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Notice what Paul says here. You got to put on every piece of God's armor. I'm about to walk you through piece by piece each one of each piece of this armor and the weapons God has given us. And you're going to have to use all of it to be successful. My brother-in-law, he was a Marine for 8 years. He fought in the Battle of Fallujah, and he's told stories of his experience. He said this, not one time did they ever go out on a mission without first doing an equipment check. Now, some of the equipment that they're fighting in the desert Middle East. Some of the equipment, it was heavy, it was hot, it was inconvenient, it was uncomfortable. But he said, Mike, that equipment saves lives. And I want you to know that the equipment that God has given us will save your life, but you've got to put it to use. Some of you are like, well, Pastor, I'm not going through anything, man. Everything's great right now. Listen, that's fine. I'm glad you're at a place of peace, but listen to me. The more you sweat in peacetime, the less you'll bleed in war. You may not, I felt the Holy Ghost right there. Said, man, things are good. Well, that's great. But you gotta be practical and tactical, because the enemy comes, and when he does, you don't have to panic. You just put into practice what you have already prepared for. Can I have a good amen? Now, in these next three verses, and I don't have time to actually read them, but in your notes and this week, and in fact, listen to the podcast, okay? We've got a podcast that's going to drop tomorrow, I believe. It's Continue the Conversation. It would be a great resource to you that's going to help you do a deep dive and equip you on each one of these pieces of equipment, all the armor that God's given us. And so look at what it says. The next three verses are the arsenal. Okay, this is the arsenal, what God has given us. He's put this at our disposal. Now, this reminds me when the kids were young, I would take them to school, and on our drive to school, I would pray the armor of God over each one of my children. And so what I'm gonna ask you to do for the next few moments, let's take a ride to school together. And I'm going to pray this over you just like I have prayed this over my kids. It's in a different order in the book of Ephesians, but I want to give it to you from head to toe. Are you ready? Number one, the helmet of salvation. What's the purpose of the helmet? The purpose of a helmet is to protect your head. Where is the biggest battlefield? It's right here in your mind. The devil would love to sabotage your thoughts. He will plant things. How many of you know the devil? He'll plant things in your head and your mind will play tricks on you. You'll create a narrative in your head that, man, it's true to you and it becomes your reality, but it's not true in real life. Your mind can trick you. You know, it's interesting, the difference between men and women. Ladies, Now, you'll stand in front of a mirror and look absolutely beautiful. I mean, put together from head to toe and still find something wrong with your appearance. I don't understand it. Guys, we can be fat. We can have hair on our backs. Man, looking all funky and stand in front of a mirror and be like, hey, what's up? Your mind will lie to you. Come on, somebody say amen. And the helmet of salvation is to protect you from thoughts that don't belong. I thought about this. Our sons and our daughters. Man, I'm praying for Gen Z. I'm praying for our millennials. You know, the enemy of their soul wants to lie to them about who they are and who they belong to. I'm speaking this over your kids and your grandkids and mine as well. That our daughters are beautiful. That our sons, they are strong. They're gonna walk in righteousness and holiness and purity. They don't have to feel less than. They are made in the image of God. Come on. Now, when you have the helmet of salvation, you begin to understand. Now, notice this. The helmet is of salvation. Those that aren't walking with God, they can't put that helmet on to protect their thoughts. But last time I checked, salvation is not based on a feeling. It's based on a knowing. Man, some days I don't always feel saved, but I know that I know that I know what God has done for me. And I'm gonna put that helmet on to destroy every argument and lie that the enemy tries to place right here. Depression, fear, anxiety, worry, rejection, feelings of less than, confusion, identity, all of those things, I'm gonna take those thoughts captive. Why? Because I have the helmet of salvation. Now, my Bible says in Philippians 4, whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, and of a good report. If there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Come on, put your hands together if you believe that. Hey! That helmet is to guard our thoughts and our mind. Number two, let's look at the body armor of righteousness. Not only do we have the helmet that protects our head, but we have body armor that guards our hearts. That body armor, one translation says the breastplate of righteousness. It protects your heart, your lungs, and your vital organs. Proverbs 4:23, the Bible says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. Listen to me, brothers and sisters, we got to protect what's happening right here. Don't let anything poison or contaminate your spirit. You know what? A bitter root produces bitter fruit. And sometimes we've been wounded. Sometimes we'll go through a set of circumstances or have an experience with someone, and we will be so wounded in our soul because the body armor of his righteousness is not protecting us. And then you'll allow bitterness to come in and spoil what God's wanting to do in your life. You know, in almost 28 years of vocational ministry, Rachel and I have been serving almost 3 decades. And you know one of the most valuable lessons I've had to learn in 30 years of ministry? Thick skin, soft heart. Why? Because people will hurt you. Come on, talk to me. And hurting people hurt people. Anybody got anybody that's just mean in their life, man? Somebody that's mean. Why is that person so mean? Well, you know, maybe they've been wounded. And out of that rejection, that pain, that disappointment, they lash out. Listen, I don't want to get old in ministry and get brittle in my spirit. I want to be kinder now than I was 30 years ago. I want to believe more in people now than I did 30 years ago. I don't want to get cynical or jaded. Come on. The body armor of God's righteousness will protect what's happening in our soul. You know, consider this. The same boiling water that softens a carrot hardens an egg. You can be in boiling water. Don't get hard. Stay soft. The body armor of his righteousness will protect what's in your heart. The helmet of salvation guards our mind and our thoughts. The body armor of God's righteousness, it protects our heart and our spirit. Look at number three, then the shield of faith. Why is a shield so important? Because a shield will help you block every fiery dart of the enemy. And consider this, in ancient warfare, what they would do is they would take arrows and they would dip it in tar and pitch, light it on fire, and they would shoot flaming arrows into the enemy. I want you to consider, in spiritual warfare, the devil does the same. He's got fiery arrows aimed at you. Temptation, darts of jealousy, immorality, confusion, lust, pride, all of these things that he's shooting these flaming arrows at us. And how do we block them? With the shield of faith. The shield of faith. It's an element of faith that blocks every fiery arrow of the enemy. Listen, the call of God on your life will draw a bullseye on your back. If you got a call and a purpose from the kingdom of God here on this earth, please know that the devil's taking aim at you. Now, sometimes our faith falters. Let's just be honest. Sometimes we don't feel strong in the Lord. Sometimes we struggle to put up the shield of faith. There was a formation that the ancient Romans would do, and it was this formation where they would interlock their shields together. I want you to see this picture. This is a powerful picture because when your faith falters, you can lock arms and interlock shields with another believer. And notice what it forms. It forms a wall of protection. It forms a shell, if you will, that covers you. This is extremely important because not every day you feel like fighting. Some days you struggle to even believe God for your own situation. Come on. How many of you know it's easy for me to believe for you, but sometimes it's hard for me to apply that faith to my situation? Guess what? I've got a small group of men that I love dearly. And you know what? When I'm weak, they've taken their shield and locked it to my shield, and it's formed a wall of protection. And so when those darts are flying and I can't even protect myself, come on, how many of you know that in our weakness, God's strength is made perfect? Oh, I love that. I love that. The shield of faith to block every fiery arrow of the enemy. Number four, he's given us the sword of the Spirit. This is the principal weapon for a soldier in hand-to-hand combat. Now, notice everything we've been talking about has been defensive. The helmet protects our head. Body armor protects our heart. Shield blocks the darts and the arrows of the enemy. But now this is the offensive weapon God's given us, the sword of the Spirit. Why is the sword important? Because you can use that sword to slice and dice the devil and cut him down to size. Man, the enemy of your soul wants you to think that he's so big and so bad and you're just so small and so tiny. But if you've got a sword, you can chop him to pieces. What is the sword of the Spirit? It's the word of God. Notice when Jesus was attacked in the wilderness, when the enemy came against him to tempt him, how did Jesus fight back? He said, "It is written." You see, the problem is if we don't know what's written. Come on now. Let me say something. I love you. Turn to your neighbor and say, "Pastor loves you." I love you, but I tell you this. It's our ignorance of God's word that becomes the number one tool the devil will use against us. If we don't know the word of God, we can't walk in the power of God. Matthew 22, verse 29, Jesus replied and he said, "Hey, here's your mistake. This is your problem. You don't even know the scriptures, and so you don't know the power of God." Listen to me. The Bible is daily bread. It's bread for daily consumption. It's not birthday cake for celebration once a year. But every day, listen, I gotta have the word every day. I do. That's why I do the one-year Bible. You say, "Mike, does that make you spiritual? Is that because you're such a man of God, you read the Bible every day?" No, it's because I realize how weak and desperate I am. And I need God's word every day. I need that dagger of that sword of the Spirit. And man, when the enemy comes against me, it's not my words that defeat the devil, but it's his words that do. Commit the word of God to memory. Memorize the scripture. Speak the word over your circumstances. Speak the word over your soul. We sang about it today. "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me, bless his holy name." What are we talking about? Soul, you're going to hear the word. Spirit, you're going to hear the word. Devil, you're going to hear the word. Speak the word to your enemies. I love this. An elderly woman had just returned to her home after an evening church service when she was startled by an intruder. She caught the man in the act of robbing her home of all of its valuables. And there he was, and she stumbled upon him. And so she just yelled this out. She said, "Stop! Acts 2:38, which means repent of your sins." So the man stopped, and she calmly calls the authorities. They come and arrest the guy, and as they handcuff him and put him in the police car, the deputy asked him, said, why, when the old lady told you to stop, why did you just give up? He said, "Well, she told me she had an axe, and she had 2.38s. Come on, how many know that the enemy can't stand the word of God? And the word works. That was cheesy, wasn't it? That was so cheesy. The word works when you put it to work. Come on, somebody. Somebody say helmet of salvation. Say body armor of his righteousness. Say shield of faith. Say sword of the spirit. Say belt of truth. Oh, this is so good. The belt is what ties everything together. You see, in hand-to-hand combat, what they had to do was they had to take the loose ends of their robe and they had to fold it up and cinch it in that belt and tie that thing tight. And here's why this is important, because the belt of truth is what holds everything together. It's right here in the center of your being. Let me ask you this, what happens when you don't have a belt on? Woo! You know what the belt does? Watch this, the belt holds up your dignity, your honesty, and your integrity. I pray, Lord, I never want to leave my house without the belt of truth. I never want to do anything to embarrass my family. I never want to say anything or act in such a way where I bring shame or embarrassment to this church. I never want to jeopardize the good name of HPC in our community or cause a stain on the mission of Jesus in this region. Guess what? The belt of truth. Why do we say the belt of truth? Why is truth important? Because it's truth that sets us free. At the very core, the center of who we are, the truth ties everything together. It's amazing how you go to a court of law and you put your hand over a Bible and they say what? Do you promise to tell the... But not just the truth, to tell the whole truth and nothing but. Why do we have to go to such extremes? Because we found ways to take the truth and bend it and twist it and design it and camouflage it to say something totally different. Listen, either it's true or it's not. And you shall know the truth. And the truth will set you free. Helmet of salvation, body armor of righteousness, shield of faith, sword of the spirit, belt of truth. For shoes, the shoes of the gospel of peace. Oh, this is good. Why are shoes important? You know what? As a soldier, if you cut your feet, the treacherous terrain that you're fighting on, man, if you cut your feet, you can't fight. You can barely stand up. But your feet, the shoes are what give you strength in your stance. Because listen, the Bible says, having done all to stand, keep standing. There's something about shoes that represent purpose and direction. You see, you dress for where you're going, not for where you've been. Come on, that's a word for somebody. Some of you are wearing old clothes based on the past, and God's saying, no, it's time to put on a new pair of shoes. Lace them up and move in a new direction. When I got up today and put my clothes on, I tied my shoes because I was coming to church. I didn't put on my slippers. Nuh-uh. I got shoes because I'm going somewhere, baby. I'm stepping after God. I'm following God. Now, the Bible says shoes of the gospel of peace. These shoes are for the purpose of proclaiming the good news. You say, "Mike, I've lost some battles. You've given this picture of fighting, and I feel like I'm struggling." Hear me, my brother. Hear me, my sister. You may have lost some battles, but you will not lose the war. God's equipped us from head to toe. Listen, what good is all the armor of God without the warrior on the inside? God, give us a warrior spirit. Teach us to fight the good fight of faith. Man, the Bible says, "Bless the Lord who is my rock. He gives me strength. He gives me feet for power and strength for war." I want you to know that the power inside of you is greater than any battle or challenge in front of you. Greater is he that is in me than he that's in this world. We fight today, but not for victory. We fight from victory. Why? Because Jesus accomplished on the cross. The victory has been secure. So the fight of today is from a stance and a position of victory.
Thank you for listening. Take a moment and subscribe so you can become a part of the community here and stay up to date with what is happening at Healing Place Church. For more information about HPC, visit healingplacechurch.org.